I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hey, y'all. Before we get into this episode, we do have exciting news. Our podcast has been nominated as Best Local Podcast here in Savannah by Connect Savannah. Every year, they have their Best Of competition. It's a very acclaimed competition here in Savannah. And so it's a really big honor to be nominated for it. We really do need your help voting, though. You can vote every single day, and we have a link in our description for it. So it is under Best Local Podcast for the Most Haunted City on Earth. But while you are there, we are nominated for some other various ventures. So Savannah Underground is nominated for Best Local Theater Production, and Chris's improv troupe, Oddlot, is nominated for Best Local Comedy Troupe, and then JT was nominated for Best Local Theater Director, and that is under John Taylor Timmons. If you didn't know his full name by now. But we do really appreciate you guys voting, and it is a big deal if you win this competition. So let's be the first ghost podcast to win that category.
Come on.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And I'm Mikey J.
Ew.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just working on my improvisation. Am I good, Chris?
Well, it was unexpected.
There you go. That's what I was going for. And I'm JT.
You're feeling spicy today, I see.
I am feeling spicy. I'm feeling spicy because we got some really good news.
Oh, what's the good news?
Mm-hmm. We got some really, really good news. First, I'd like to give thanks to some new para junkies. I would like to thank Nikki, Emily Schwartz, Abby Wilsey, Crystal Smith, Terry Wheeler, Corey Shanahan, and Kelsey. Thank y'all so much for your support. Seriously, it means the world to us because it really keeps us going.
It really keeps us going.
You know, all of those para junkie dollars, they go right back into the show. And, you know, they just help us improve, help us research, and all of that stuff.
Absolutely.
So that's great. The good news is that we are getting close to 100 para junkies.
Nice.
I know it's like small in the scheme of things, but it's big to us because, you know, like we only started the show seven months ago and some change. Yep. And, you know, there have been some, just some really, really excellent para junkies that have joined the team, joined the para junkie family. And we just really appreciate all of y'all. And, yeah, so we are trying to get to 100 para junkies. You can see our current number on Patreon, but you know, really try to, if y'all could sign up, if you're on like the edge of it and you want to sign up, there's a bunch of great stuff on there. And one of the biggest thing is we have like extra content. I mean, we got a ton of extra stuff. I mean, you can go down our para junkie feed and find YouTube videos and also extra stuff on a cast, a lot of extra stuff on a cast.
Yeah. So if you want to hear about, you know, all sorts of different types of paranormal stuff, we don't stick to just Savannah or even just the US. Our most recent para junkie exclusive was on the Mananagal, which was currently spotted in the Philippines. It's a Filipino folklore sort of tale. And in 2023, we are having sightings of it. So we go into a deep dive of that. So if you're interested in things of that nature, you should definitely become a para junkie. But cool. With that, though, we are back for today's episode with another ghost mail.
Ghost mail.
Yes. So if you have a ghost story and you would like to have us read it and, you know, give our thoughts and opinions on it, definitely send it over to us. You can send it to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We love reading these. It's been a really fun series that we've started up. And so definitely send those over. Also, if you want to discuss further in paranormal theories and folklore and things like that, we now have a public Facebook group. It is called Most Haunted City on Earth Fan Base. It is public to all of y'all who listen to the podcast. You only have to answer a few questions, and mostly it's, do you like ghosts? So
yeah, absolutely.
So definitely join that so that you can meet other listeners who listen to the podcast and also talk about all the ghosty things on Facebook. So.
For sure, for sure. All righty, here we go. First one. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Buckle in.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Princess Saki 2009 says, well, titled this, sorry, Little Stories Here and There.
Oh.
Okay. Hello, my name is Courtney. I enjoy watching your YouTube channel and getting more info on the supernatural that I don't know about. You guys are awesome and keep up the good work. Thank you, Courtney. Being born and raised in the South and having African ancestry, our family, immediate and extended, have kept a lot of beliefs and traditions. For instance, my mother can't see entities attached to people and talk to them. I don't know if she meant can or can't. Me and my dad have dreams, which will be a big plot for the first story. And we also think of my nephews. We also think one of my nephews has gifts we are trying to still trying to understand. My mom has a few cousins that also have gifts. One of those cousins, she and her siblings were terrified of. Oh boy. Okay.
Oh no.
She was born with a veil over her face. Yeah. Ooh. Why'd you say that?
Super common in Southern folklore. If you're born with a cowl over your face, it is a sign that you will have supernatural
abilities,
or at the very least be very the center of a lot of supernatural disturbances.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's a thing.
All right. Well, you learn something new every day. All right. She was born with a veil over her face and was more in tune with the afterlife. They would find her in the graveyards, in which there were many in West Tennessee, talking to herself, and that was in quotations, and telling them that she was talking to her friends, also in quotations. All right.
That sounds like every kid that's ever been able to see ghosts. It's such a common trope, you know, where they're like, who are you talking to? My friends. Yeah. And it's like Cindy Lou, who just has been dead since 1932. Bruh. Did you like that good rhyme?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. All right, here we go. The first story has to do with my brother. When we were around 6 to 7 years old, he would have these really vivid dreams and tell us about them. They were innocent dreams as a kid, superhero, sports, games, things of that sort. After a while, his dreams started to get darker as he told them to us. My mom didn't like and realized that it was starting to affect his sleep and how he socialized. She gave him a prayer to say before he went to bed. The dream stopped for a while, but ended up coming back with a vengeance. He started to see, as he described, the man in the trench coat. Oh boy. And a hat.
The hat man.
That looked between a sun hat and a cowboy hat. He couldn't see the man's face, but he could see that his eyes were bright red. The man would terrorize my brother for months. The first few months, this entity would show up in my brother's dreams. He would wake up exactly at 6 in the morning, screaming at the top of his lungs and crying, the man came back, and that someone in the family was going to pass. Oh boy. Okay. Lo and behold, an extended family member did pass. This would go on for about 2 months, and my brother had predicted 3 other members passing. Wow. My mother, being sick of being called the auntie, who is a healer / cleanser to get rid of it. The last time he saw that the man, he said, it laughed at him and said, I will be back to get you one day. Oof. Yeah. We are in our 30s now, and he still doesn't like to talk about it. So that's the first one. Maybe we should cover that one first.
Let's discuss that real quick. You know, it is not, I wouldn't say a common gift, but I have known quite a few people, including my mother, who have had dreams of death. And my mom, you know, would freak out about it whenever it would happen, because she told me that basically every time she dreamed of death, three people would die and she didn't know who they would be.
Right.
So it's a really unfortunate gift that is kind of bestowed upon people. Also, I've noted, I don't know why, but I've noted this thorough line with them, and I don't know when your brother was born, but I've only known Virgos to have this gift. So maybe it's something about Virgos or September babies and sure. things like that. But it is, it's a really scary thing. So I'm sure people who have that gift don't want to talk about it often. What I find curious about this story is that at first I was like, okay, it's a normal Hat Man sort of situation, but usually the Hat Man doesn't give you information.
Although he has been noted as a harbinger of death.
Really?
On numerous occasions, people encounter the Hat Man and then someone dies shortly. It's sort of like the Woman in Black.
Interesting.
There have been notices of that, and I think one of the defining differences is eyes and voice.
Right.
The fact that he has eyes at all is a little off, and the fact that he spoke is a little off.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
As far as going by Hat Man, because the Hat Man becomes a blanket thing.
Yeah.
And it's about your mind trying to determine and create from the shadows a image that makes sense. You know, the mysterious person in a hat and overcoat kind of fits into a lot of things, because there's so many stories throughout history about the figure, the shadowy figure, the figure sure. of the hat and the, you know, cape, you know, that kind of thing. I always think of Spring Hill Jack, who was a Victorian era cryptid. He attacked people in London, but he would jump way up in the sky. But anybody who said they saw under his hat bill said that he had red eyes and he breathed sulfurous smoke.
Oh, wow.
That sounds, for lack of a better word, demonic.
Yeah, exactly.
You
exactly.
know, it's,
it sounds like Insidious. Well, the guy who's walking on the balcony in Insidious.
Right.
Now,
like just a trench coat man. Yeah.
I have seen a few people who have commented on our TikToks, especially when we posted about the Hat Man, people saying that they've also seen the Hat Man or at least what they believe to be the Hat Man with red eyes. I think that's a whole different entity than the Hat Man, because at least with my personal experience of the Hat Man, it was not that intimidating. It was creepy and definitely off-putting, but not to the point where it was like, oof, you know, like I'm horrified to even talk about this entity. But from what I've noted is that the people who have seen it with the red eyes kind of have the same feeling or same sentiment that.
And that might just be a question of proximity of Hat Man. You know, what is he trying to do by appearing to you? You know, if he's there as a harbinger of death, which I think is common enough, then he carries with him all of this hard and terrifying knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, because most people I've encountered, he's like, you know, the sleep paralysis demon. He's a thing that is present, mm-hmm. oftentimes voyeuristically watching you, you know, either from outside the door or outside your house. If he's in the room, he's usually in the corner. You know?
Right.
And most people encounter him as this being that is present. But I have definitely heard people discuss the Hat Man and then tragedy coming after, you know, kind of Mothman-ish.
That is kind of Mothman-ish. All right, on to the next one.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Thank you so much, Courtney. This one is from Bella Mia. And it is titled Vacation Ghost Story and has photos.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hi, guys. I love your podcast. My sisters and I are big believers in the supernatural. My grandmother, before she passed, would always say she had the eye. It was her way of saying she could feel and see people who have passed on. Like my grandmother, I have a similar gift. The only difference is I can tell a spirit to go away. I normally only do this if I start to feel uncomfortable, but most of the time it's because they scare my dogs.
I feel you on that one.
They normally always respect what I say and leave. Before I learned, I was able to just tell them to leave. My grandma taught me to pray to my grandfather to protect me. My parents, on the other hand, were not believers in ghosts, or at least chose not to say that they were until this happened. Oh, yeah. I graduated high school in 2017, and we went on a big family vacation to Cape May, New Jersey. We rented a newly renovated 4-floor beach house. It was gorgeous. The ground floor was very secluded. It had one large bedroom, its own living room, and bathroom. To get upstairs to the main area, there was a beautiful grand staircase. My parents let me have the ground level to myself. It was awesome. I had total privacy. The trip was going absolutely smoothly. I felt no energy the entire time I was down there. It was so peaceful until the last night. We had left the beach early because there was a horrible, horrible in all caps, thunderstorm, like one out of a horror movie. As soon as we walked into the ground level, it felt a little off. I just chalked it up to the storm throwing me off. My family went upstairs to get cleaned up from the beach, and I went to take a shower right away. Once the bathroom started to get all steamy, I started feeling super uncomfortable. Again, just thinking the bad storm was making me nervous, the winds were so intense, the lights kept dimming and flickering. I finished up and went into the room to get dressed. I left the bathroom door open to let the steam out. I had this beautiful dresser with a large mirror in my room where I had my pajamas laid out on top. I stepped in front of the mirror and started to get dressed until I noticed in the reflection large, steamy, misty gust of air floating next to me. I instantly felt that uncomfortable feeling. I started to examine it, and before my eyes, the mist turned into the shape of an older man with bushy eyebrows, long, raggedy hair, a long, unkempt beard. He had on a rain jacket and a large hat. The trench coat and the hat thing, man. Wow. And I couldn't tell if he was staring at me or himself in the mirror. But his energy was the most intense feeling I've ever felt in my life, almost to the point I felt lightheaded. It was the feeling of fear and deep sadness. But because I was so scared, I was literally frozen by fear. I kept staring at him, waiting for his eyes to meet mine. The thunderstorm in the background definitely did not help. After what felt like hours, it was only a few minutes. I finally snapped out of it and started praying to my grandfather to get the guy the hell out of here. A few seconds later, he started to fade away until he was gone. Once the air stopped being so heavy and that overwhelming feeling of sadness disappeared, I came to my senses and, half-dressed, I grabbed my clothes and ran upstairs. My family were all staring at me, confused as to why I ran up the stairs like a lunatic. My little sister and 2-year-old brother were sitting at the table, and I didn't want to scare them, so I pulled my dad to the side and told him quickly without getting into details what happened downstairs. He turned white. Then told me to go sit with my siblings. He then asked to talk to my mom in the hallway. After seconds, I heard her scream. And I ran over. She looked at me, and the first thing she asked is if he was wearing a big hat and a raincoat. Oh, boy. It sent a shiver down my spine. When we were at the beach, she stayed home and took a nap. She said she woke up to an old, scary fisherman that was standing above her, staring at himself in the mirror across the room. She thought she was having a nightmare and forced herself back to sleep. After that, we agreed as soon as the storm subsided that we would leave. We all stuck together to pack our rooms. As we were packing my parents' room, my little brother was running back and forth from the bedroom to the bathroom, laughing and giggling. All of a sudden, he stopped dead in his tracks in the doorway of the bathroom and started to walk backwards. He said, "Mommy, what that man doing in the bathroom?" Thankfully, he was just finished packing and grabbed my brother. We had just finished packing and grabbed my brother and bags and ran downstairs. We all slept in the living room together that night. Wow. That next morning, we rushed to get out of there. I had one bag left in the ground level living room. We were all so scared. My dad let us stay in the car and he went in alone to get it. Oh my God. Okay. After he grabbed my bag, once he was walking out, he passed the TV. He saw the fisherman behind him in the reflection of the TV. On our way home, it dawned on me that that right by the beach house was Cape May Fisherman's Memorial Park. It had a large statue to honor the fishermen. The fishermen lost at sea. They also had small headstones where people left seashells for those who never made it back home. After that, we realized what we experienced was someone trying to find their way back home. Thanks for reading my family's ghost experience. Love you guys, Bella.
Wow.
Yeah. And there are photos of the headstones and all of that at Cape May. There's a sign of Sailor's Peril. I'll go ahead and put them up for everyone to see. That's a great story, Lord.
That's an excellent
story.
That's
a classic.
Yeah.
Pure classic.
I mean, so interestingly enough, I don't think it gets talked about a lot that paranormal activity tends to get amped up during major thunderstorms mm-hmm. and just storms in general, because think of how much power just like a strike of lightning, a single strike of lightning causes. It's just like
it's enough to send you back in time if you're going 88 miles an hour in a DeLorean.
Right. I mean, so it's, you know, just that in itself tends to be like a surge of energy for these spirits. And a lot of people do encounter entities during these storms. And it's kind of just been made into a trope of being creepy that it's raining, but people aren't putting the two and two together.
No,
so it doesn't surprise me.
Charge, yeah.
Exactly. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, your family experienced this entity during a major storm, but nonetheless, very creepy, you know. It's always freaky when there is a entity that's just very voyeuristic in that way, and you're just not sure why they're staring at you. And
yeah, and I mean, to go even one further, the fact that he was in rain gear,
right,
suggests that he probably died in a thunderstorm. That his boat probably went out and got caught in a storm, and he washed ashore, at least his spirit did, right there near that spot. So, you know, you have all kinds of great elements of the story fitting and making sense. And what I find interesting is that in none of the accounts was he interacting with the living. It seems like he was transfixed by his own reflection,
right,
which suggests that he was only coming to grips with the fact that he was dead, or that he is in some kind of, you know, limbo-ish existence where he's transfixed by either not seeing his own reflection, which might be what was happening, was he was staring into a mirror and not seeing himself, or he was seeing himself and realizing that he was not alive.
Right. It's also interesting that he wasn't necessarily doing anything to y'all, but you were so scared of him,
mm-hmm.
you know? That just like gives me a good idea of what kind of energy it is, because whenever you get the heebie-jeebies or whatever, you know, the oogity-boogies, as you like to say.
Well, actually, those would be woogity-woogities.
Yeah, the woogity-woogities. You know, it says a lot about an entity if you get that feeling, especially if they're not actively doing anything. Like, right. They're just standing there.
It tends to even speak, not necessarily of intention, but of amount of power, amount of energy, how present they are in your environment. And that is enough to make you uneasy, regardless of the intent of the spirit. The fact that it is invading your space and causing that ripple effect of, I acknowledge you're there, I cannot explain what you are. All those things really do add up to a dread.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, if somebody were just in your house and, you know, maybe they're there to rob you. Maybe they're there to murder you. Their intention doesn't matter. Maybe they're, you know, planning a surprise party. the sensation that there's something in your space and something that doesn't belong there can really heighten, you know, your experiences. And I find it interesting that in turn, each of your family members, I guess, save the youngest, had this experience where they saw him. You know, your mother first, then you, then your brother, and then your father at mm-hmm. the very, very end. That's a powerful entity. That is a powerful entity. That means that it has a lot of endurance.
Absolutely. Also, to note on the attire that he was wearing, that does lean into the idea of he knows how he died and how what he was wearing when he died. You know, because that's a question that we get every once in a while of, like, why do certain entities wear certain things? Right. A lot of times, you know, when you get the gory entities or just entities wearing clothes of their, you know, job, a lot of times that shows that they're aware of how they died. And, you know, they're aware of the injuries that they sustained and things of that nature. Right. But, you know, entities that are wearing their favorite outfit, it's possible that they died in their sleep.
And they're just presenting themselves,
exactly,
right?
In the way that represented them in their lifetime. You know, I very rarely seen an entity wearing their funeral attire. Because honestly, who wants to wear that for the rest of eternity?
Well, technically, they're not around.
Right.
You know, exactly. They didn't dress themselves at that point.
Exactly.
They didn't pick those clothes out.
So I has a question. Mm-hmm. I need to know how to tell if there's an actual person in your house that shouldn't be there. How do you differentiate a B&E from a ghost? That's my point.
You should probably treat all of them like B&Es. B&Es,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But okay. So my biggest question is like in this story in particular, how do you think the mom, the first person to see the ghost, knew that it was a ghost? How does that happen?
You usually get this feeling of you're not human or like alive in that way. I can't explain it to.
Well, and it sounded like she explained that she was coming out of a dream state,
right?
Which she kind of was able. So imagine thinking of a dream that you had.
Mm-hmm.
You know that was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine waking up, having an incident that you can still say, that's a dream. That's the sensation. The sensation is it's not real. It's not solid. It's not here.
Sure.
And there are some people, unfortunately, who don't get to do that differentiation. Some people will experience spirits so, you know, solidly real that they don't have the luxury of determining. I had a friend who, when they saw a spirit, the only way that they could differentiate was the spirit made no noise, could not vocalize, could not make any noise. And so I would see them like staring very intently at a person who was just there.
Yeah.
And the person,
yeah.
Because they were certain that this person was a ghost. And I was like, why are you doing that? Why do you do that? Why do you stare at people like that? Like total strangers. They were out in public and they're like, don't do that. That's very rude.
Do not stare at them.
Do you see that person? Well, yes, I see that person. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very weird feeling of just almost like an instinct in a way of humans give off this different energy of like, if I reached out, I can touch you. Like, you know, like if I wanted to touch this table, I know like in my like brain, I'm like, that's going to be solid. But with spirits, it's like, you almost have this innate instinct of like, if I touched you, I'm not going to feel anything.
Sure.
You know? And for some people, you know, it is just that easy where it's like, oh, you're not
alive.
Yeah,
they sense it right away. Yeah.
Yeah. But when it comes to a B&E, it can be tricky, especially if it's an entity that looks modern, you know, because you didn't have to die in the Victorian era to become a ghost.
Yeah, we're actually going to discuss that in the next episode on Saturday.
Yeah. So, you know, it can be tricky for some people. And usually if they're not responding to you or like they're not wavering to anything that you're saying or threatening, there's a possibility that it could be a ghost. But, usually your gut will tell you if something's off. Is okay. The point being is your gut's usually right.
Okay. That's fair. That's yeah.
fair. You know, if somebody is breaking into your house, so probably a good idea to at least call 911 because, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to think like, you were just dreaming, and then they'll leave. You know?
Always carry something a little heavy so you can just throw it at somebody.
Right.
If it goes through them, it's a ghost. If it hits them.
Or keep swords under your couch.
Always. Like, let me tell you something. Toilet sword. It'll change your life.
Okay. On to the next one, y'all. All right. Here we go.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We got Abigail Smith, and she titled this Followed by the Hat Man.
No.
It's chock full of Hat Men.
Might have to do another Hat Man episode.
I know, right?
So.
Hello, everyone. My name is Abigail, and I just wanted to share my experience with the Hat Man. This happened when I was about 4 or 5 years old at my grandmother's house. I was playing in the living room where there was a huge sliding glass door that led out to the backyard. I felt someone watching me and I looked out the glass door and I saw him. He was in the back corner of the yard, a solid black figure that was wearing a hat with a brim. It felt like I stared at him forever, but when I did blink, he was coming closer to the sliding glass door. I screamed and ran to my grandma, and ever since that day, I've seen him pretty much in every house/apartment I've ever lived in. He's always there watching. And now my partner has seen him. Do y'all have any theories on why he's been following me for this long?
Hmm.
That's it.
So
big yikes.
We've definitely touched upon the Hat Man and the Hat Man phenomenon several times, and the concept that he would follow you for that long, that's a lengthy amount of time to be experiencing the Hat Man on a regular basis. A lot of people, they do experience him location-wise. There's certain locations where they'll have him. But, that he has shown a specific interest in you. There is a theory of, and I call them watching ghosts, the watching spirits, watchers, you know, right up to the point that we have these things that we believe in called guardian angels, because there is a precept, an idea that there are entities that their sole purpose seems to be to watch us, to and not to protect us, and not to, you know, serve us, and not to, you know, interfere with us in any other way. They're just like
voyeurs.
Right.
Voyeurs. You know, they might be living vicariously through us.
Aliens. Studying.
And interestingly enough, that when you were young, you had that very visceral response of screaming and running. I do not like the fact that he advanced on you. That's kind of that changes a little. Yeah, you know, that changes a little of the sensation of it. But it does kind of speak to whether or not he, you know, chose you. Whether, you know, this
she
entity, whatever it is.
Right.
Once you see a spirit, oftentimes that is enough of a bond for a spirit to really want to be in your life.
Cue the Full House music.
Because it's true. you imagine that certain entities are out there feeling completely invisible, completely unseen, without any connection at all. And then somebody, you know, sees them. It becomes almost imperative that they not lose the person who defines them, who gives them any type of purpose. It's disturbing to think that it's been going on that long, and it's disturbing to think that now you have someone else who's seen him in tandem with you, because the Hat Man's very innocuous. You know, it's a very big thing, because we've got to realize about the Hat Man is his entire look is a shroud of mystery. It's what we, one of my favorite things is if you've ever seen the neighborhood watch sign.
Yes.
It's Hat Man. It's a shadow figure with a, you know, fedora, because we recognize immediately that that is person who doesn't belong, sneaky, right. sneaky person. You know, this dark entity with no features wearing what would cover up all the features. You know, the hat keeps you from knowing whether he has horns or hair, or, you know, if it's even a he, you know, wearing a big overcoat. You can mask a lot of that persona behind that. And so oftentimes the result of Hat Man is our mind determining the closest thing we can identify this mass of darkness to. So so that gives a lot of room for what it is that you're encountering.
It makes me kind of question if there's different levels of Hat Mans. Yeah. You know, it's because like with the other story about the Hat Man with the red eyes, it's like, is that like the boss level Hat Man? Or well, is
and
it,
that
you
one
know,
spoke.
Right.
Because I very rarely hear about a Hat Man speaking.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, I wonder if like the Hat Man I experienced when I was a kid was like the mild one, like level one Hat Man.
Observer and, Hat Man.
Exactly. Observer, voyeuristic one. But as he builds his bond with you or connection, he progresses into different levels. And that's a very interesting theory that I'm probably going to have to go into a rabbit hole of it, seeing if anybody else same sentiments.
I'm actually working on a feature on Hat Man, and in my research, I've learned the variations of the themes, because once you see a face, it no longer fits mm-hmm. into the Hat Man world, but the red eyes have come up occasionally, and that it's still in the realm there when you have glowing red eyes, and sometimes that's because we are so desperate to see connection, to seek it out, that it's possible that the entity itself is like, you need eyes? Bang! Right. Here's some eyes.
Well, and red eyes aren't super descript anyways.
No,
you know,
not.
It's not like...
Especially if you're in the dark.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like... Because from what I can tell, it's not like they have like irises and right. like super no, well-formed eyes. It's just blobs of red like Mothman. But, you know...
Or something that you could superimpose with your own imagination. Mm. Something that when you're looking, because if you've ever looked at something in the dark and it's dark and you look, it loses shape. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. your brain is now actively pushing on it. And
right.
being like, well, what can we make out of this? You know, if you've ever had like a pile of clothes on a chair and late at night you look at it, you're like, oh, no, yeah. that's just a pile of clothes. I'm all right. But we've had instances where people said that they saw like a pale white face.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I don't feel that that was Hat Man.
No,
because Hat Man generally doesn't have features, generally.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So why would it be outside the first time she saw it, and now it's inside?
One of my favorite things is, and I think we've talked about this, is mm-hmm. oftentimes Hat Man is seen like from inside a house, outside, like mm-hmm. looking at into your house or from like the yard or the street. So, and I categorize that as one, like, you know, level of Hat Man is when he is like outdoors, not in your house. The next one is at your door frame. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of stories of him standing at your door frame.
Oh, so tons.
Like a hallway ghost.
That's the hallway ghost. And that seems to be like one of the, possibly the most common one is I looked and there was something in the hallway mm-hmm. looking through the doorway. When he's in your room, that's when things get really sketchy. that's when you start to hear more stories and a lot of sleep paralysis. When sleep paralysis and Hat Man get together, he's in the room. Mm-hmm. He's not watching from the hallway. He's now in your room. And then usually if he's in that close proximity, that's when the harbinger aspect of him comes out, when he is now in your life, you know, as it were, and then an accident is coming, or a, you know, a death in the family is coming. So I think it's interesting, because I wonder if it's not just a collection of superstitions manifesting into this entity, into this one singular being that is going across the table. Because we talked about this before, ghosts with jobs. There are ghosts that have jobs, the woman in white, the woman in black, you know, the black dog, you know, all these things have a purpose. They show up right before an event or right before something happens. And so maybe Hatman is just like a modern formation of those superstitions.
Right. And I think because he's so malleable, it's not out of the realm of possibility that there's different types of Hatmans, same as there's different types of just any type of non-living entities of sorts, you know, because of the variation of hats that he wears. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, depending the region that you're from. If you're living in a place where people often wear cowboy hats, maybe that's why, or like near places where people wear cowboy hats, maybe that's why you're seeing that. If you live in an area where it's not uncommon for people to be wearing wide brim hats, you know, to protect themselves from the sun while they're outside, also not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I would say that
picking up on what's familiar to you.
The first stories and encounters that I was having in person with people, he was wearing a bowler hat. And the bowler hat, because I met three different people from totally different places, totally different things, talk about seeing a man, a shadow in a bowler hat, to which I was then introduced.
A bowler hat is like the derby round
hat. It's the round.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very tight.
Yeah. Got it.
And so I was like, oh, you know, Charlie Chaplin or, you know, something like that.
Okay.
So when Hatman started coming around, I was like, you know, I've heard stories about this Hatman. And they're like, oh, he has a wide brim hat. I was like, oh, no, that's not the story I heard. You know, that doesn't fit. And I actually house sat at somebody who claimed that there was a bowler hat man in their house. And he would turn the faucets on and off. And one night the faucet came on. And
just to get their attention?
That would be the most likely thing. But, you know, water pressure and bad washers can cause a sink to turn on.
Yes.
So I went to go turn it off, but as I entered the bathroom, it turned off. And that one I couldn't explain. couldn't explain why it would turn off. I can explain why it turned on, you know, water pressure against the, you know, plumbing. But when it turned off, I was like, all right. I'm going to sleep in the living room tonight.
Yeah.
Now, my hat man had a top hat, which is not also super uncommon. A lot of people have claimed top
hat. I've heard the top hat.
You know.
The Babadook.
Right. But, you know, and I feel like a lot of that could come from my own fascination with old-timey things. So, you know, it seems to think that they kind of are able to identify, like, what's going to get their attention.
Right. That's fair.
You know? Because that would get my attention. I'm like, okay, old-timey
top hat man.
Right.
Old-timey top
but
hat
my,
man.
My sister would see the same thing, though. Top hat. Always. It was always top hat.
And yeah. See, that's crazy.
Yeah. And my sister is very matter-of-fact, so she wouldn't, like, sugarcoat it. But, yeah, I don't think either of us ever saw red eyes. So maybe we got the good end of the deal with the top or the hat man. So
yeah, I mean maybe different hat men are more evil than others, and there's some really
it's very possible.
Hat men.
It's completely possible. And it's completely possible that we're not even dealing with the same thing, you know, that we have come to an understanding of a hat man.
Yes.
Right.
But that doesn't mean all hat men.
My question is, we read these emails in order, right? As we get them, we, you know, first come and then we read them. And then second we read them, you know, and so why would we get three stories that have hat man trench coat?
Maybe it's in the same lines of, you know, how we were talking about in that Parajunkie exclusive of, you know, this year, I don't know what it is about it, but just these cryptids and odd things are just popping up. Maybe we're entering a new age of the hat man, you know, and more people are having experiences.
Well, and it's becoming more prevalent. Like, so one of the most amazing things about Hatman, and you can try this experiment at your home, go to somebody that you may not talk about ghosts much about and ask them about the Hatman. One of two things will happen. They'll say, I don't know what you're talking about, or, oh, yeah, the Hatman. For people who say, I don't know what you're talking about, tell them what the Hatman is and see if they don't have a Hatman story.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I have yet to meet a person who said, I've never heard of the Hatman, who didn't, after hearing who the Hatman was, have some kind of Hatman story.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. You
know, and it's amazing because one of my business partners, when we were starting the venture on the Hat Man, I was like, we should make a Hat Man movie. And he's like, what's that? I tell him. And after a while, he's just like, oh, my God. I totally saw that when I was a kid. You know, I totally had this experience. And then he went to tell and it's a small little interesting groundswell where talking to people who have never heard of it before, but once they are familiarized with it, they're like, oh gosh, yeah. If they hadn't had a direct experience, they have heard of somebody who was like, oh yeah, you know what? I have heard of that.
All right. I need anyone listening that has a Hat Man story, send in your ghost mail because now we got to read some Hat Man stories.
It's the age of Aquarius really... and also the age of the Hat Man.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And
we'll manifest the Hat Man at this point. It's a lightning rod now.
I am not surprised if we haven't manifested many, many things in this building because of this podcast.
Oh, yeah. There's like 17 portals all around us.
Well,
this
you know, it's funny. Two Girls, One Ghost that we had on recently, they had to put a warning up on their podcast saying that you might get haunted from listening to this because they've been doing this their podcast longer than we have, but a lot of their listeners have had paranormal experiences while listening to their podcasts. Our building where we film, I have noticed so many new entities pop up in this building ever since we started this podcast, and that's not to say this place isn't haunted on its own. But new ones appearing or maybe finally showing themselves. The more we talk about ghosts and the more they realize like, oh boy, these people are interesting. We're feeding them. We have obese ghosts.
Obese ghosts!
So it's...
Ghost stories do tend to jiggle the handle of the door.
Yeah.
And when you tell ghost stories or you share ghost stories, what you're really doing is you're talking about a willingness to experience and a willingness to suspend the disbelief that keeps us safe.
Yeah.
And once you start stepping past that barrier and into a world that allows for this stuff can become very accessible to anyone, which is interesting because there are a lot of people whose first, you know, statement is, I don't want to see, or, you know, I believe, but I'm afraid. And those notions do help keep them safe. But, you know, when you start opening that door, when you start like really letting it in, the spirits understand that it's a safe place to express themselves and to show themselves. And then things happen, and then people have these experiences. So yeah, if you've had any ghostly experiences while listening to the podcast,
send that in
so that we know what kind of influence there is going on out there, and if that hypothesis is even correct.
This is scientific research.
Yes.
Well, at the very least, it's we posit the theory.
Yeah.
That the more you listen to and the more open you are about ghosts and ghostly things, the more likely you are to experience them.
Do y'all remember when the Hat Man was spotted in the Oglethorpe Mall?
No.
Yeah.
I do not.
Yeah, when did that happen?
They saw him at Lids.
You're done.
So JT won't be on the next podcast.
And I'm out. If you're still listening, I apologize.
We just lost every listener we had. They're all like, I'm done with this. Unsubscribe.
Actually, please like and subscribe.
Please like after subscribe. That. You're going to ask after that.
He's like, please forgive me. Please forgive me. No. But on the hauntings of this building, actually, we are going to be doing a little investigation here pretty soon. So that's going to be a Parajunkie exclusive, I believe, correct? Our investigation of the building. So if you want to hear more about our overfed ghosts and see what we find in here, definitely become a parent junkie because I'm really excited to see what exactly we capture because we've been pulling at this rope with one in particular, but I want to see if we can get a confirmation on that. But with that, though, if you don't already follow us on social media, go ahead and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, all the good things under Haunted City Podcasts. You can check out our website called hauntedcitypodcast.com if you want to follow us over there, also to get some fun merch and all that sort of thingies. And then also we've got Patreon, of course, if you want to become a parajunkie and join us over there. But with that, though, My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.